I replied to your email.
Oh, you didn't send it to Justin. You only sent it to me.
I'm refreshing. Shut up, Justin.
You didn't get it.
I thought you were going to forward it to me, though.
You weren't. I haven't done it yet.
I just did it. Now you should have it.
I'm refreshing. I got it.
God.
I want to be in the loop. You guys ever watch Spartacus? You know, like when the gladiators got to, like, show their junk? They're like, oh, remove your towel. And it's very demeaning. It's bad.
Oh.
Slaves will know what I'm talking about.
Treated like an object is demeaning.
Yes.
True. I'm so glad the white man has figured that out.
Yes. It took a while. A couple hundred years.
We're evolved.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here running the show this week, and I'm here with Amanda and Justin. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I am fabulous. I hear this is the place where dreams come true.
It is. We're like a dream factory. Think Willy Wonka, but without Johnny Depp and better.
I like it. It's like the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but without a sad ending.
All the happiness of Make-A-Wish without all that unfortunate terminal illness.
Right. Let's do it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Randy is not able to join us tonight. He'll be back next week, but he had a prior commitment, and hope all goes well with that rectum thing he's taken care of. And so what's going on in the world, Justin? I heard there's some Spider-Man stuff. Maybe some rumors finally coming true.
What? You better believe it, Buster. Freaking Spider-Man is coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is crazy. Yes, we have been talking about this and talking about it forever, and it's happening. I told you, this is the place where dreams come true.
I done told you.
I done told you, woman. Yes, Marvel announced this today. A few hours ago, actually. We were sitting here playing with our penis, and then we get this email saying, hey, check this shit out.
The web it's important to notice that was penis singular, that Geek Legacy shares a penis.
That's true. It's kind of like a, what do you call it? Like a communal penis. Yeah. Anyway, yes, sir. Spider-Man. I don't know if it's going to be Peter Parker, though.
Oh, man.
This is the thing, right?
Oh, wait, that's the Aquaman song.
Yeah. don't be confusing my songs now. Yeah, so we got all kinds of craziness. He's going to make an appearance in the cinematic universe. In some Marvel film. We don't know which one yet, but it's going to happen. Then Sony Pictures will release the next installment of a Spider-Man franchise on July 28th, 2017. And what's interesting about that is the film will be co-produced by Kevin Feige with his team at Marvel and Amy Pascal. And she's actually the Sony CEO that's stepping down. Right? That's her, right?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought so. But she's gonna go on and produce films. That's gonna be her thing now. She's no longer gonna be head of Sony. She's gonna go be a movie producer. She's going to Tinseltown, son.
She wants to be in movies.
Yeah, and then
couch.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff. And I mean, I'll be sad to lose Mr. Garfield. I think he's an amazing Peter Parker, but I guess if we wanted this to work out, this is the way it had to be.
Yeah, so. That's crazy. And there's also, we can't rule out the opportunity of Marvel characters, or characters from the Marvel Cinematic Universe being used in future Spider-Man films.
Yeah, which is pretty cool as well.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that had to have been the draw that made Sony cross the line. I'm imagining that Sony saw the possibilities of Iron Man showing up in their movies and being like, ooh, our movies are going to make more money now. Mm-hmm. Which would be cool. Now it's interesting that Spider-Man will show up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe next, and then have his own feature film. What property do you think he's going to show up in?
I don't know, because if he's getting his movie in 2017, is that what it was?
Yeah, July 28th, 2017.
That's soon, man. When's the next Captain America movie?
May 6, 2016. Whole year ahead of it.
Jeez.
There you go. I think that's it. I think that's where he'll be.
You know, I'm that's probably the safe bet, and I think I agree with you on that one. But they've been doing a lot of secret reshoots on Age of Ultron, and I think it'd be pretty badass if he showed up in, like, the Stinger at the end or something. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, you know, Captain America, you know, who knows how Avengers Age of Ultron's going to end. We know that it's going to be a very different Avengers, and it's going to kind of be of a downer. How cool would it be if we had that scene from the Civil War comics when Spider-Man, like, returns Captain America's shield to him, like puts it up in, like, the web or something like that. Mm-hmm. That'd be a cool little stinger.
That would be a cool stinger.
But, I mean, yeah, it's sad. We know that Mark Webb's not going to come back. He directed the last two amazing Spider-Men. Not a huge loss. He was great with Peter Parker, but his Spider-Man stuff was pretty weak. But I think the real loss is Andrew Garfield, because he was an amazing Peter Parker, and he'll be missed.
There's also that whole possibility that they explore the Ultimate Spider-Man, where it has, what's his name? Miles?
Teller?
No.
I wish he ruled.
Miles Morales?
He's
going the ethnic route. or half black, half Hispanic of some sort. I don't really know. I don't read Ultimate Spider-Man, but it could be interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
His suit looks fucking bitchin', tell you that much. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I would agree.
I like Spider-Man.
He does whatever a spider can.
He does.
He spins a web any size.
Which is bite you when you're sleeping in your own goddamn business.
It just piss you off.
I fucking hate spiders. I mean, I always let them out. I try not to kill them. I say always, but I really try not to kill them. I try and get them in a little glass and let them out, go outside, but sometimes they piss me off.
You're a better man than me. You know who else is a better man than me?
Everyone.
The Man Without Fear, Daredevil.
What?
Did you guys see that trailer that Netflix released?
Mr. Matlock?
Yeah, Mr. Matlock.
Matt Murdock, correct?
Matt Matlock.
Holy shit. I never get that guy's name right. Yeah, trailer looks good, man. You know who? Was that fucking Scott Glenn that I saw on the trailer?
It sure was.
Holy shit, that guy's cool.
Mr. Sucker Punch himself.
Yeah, I was going to go with...
Backdraft?
Yeah, that's a good one. You go, we go. Or you go, I go. Fire, fire, fire. I like the other one, the cowboy movie, Silverado. That's a good one.
That's a good one. But, I really liked the tone of the trailer. It was kind of nice. It wasn't, you know, a real flashy, you know, reminiscent of what we've been seeing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Nor did it look boring and stupid like, you know, the ABC shows from Marvel. It really had a nice little gritty tone, and... I'm more interested in Daredevil now than I ever was, so I think it'll be fun. I think come April, I think we're going to binge-watch the shit out of this show, and I think we're going to be pretty happy. Did you see the trailer, Amanda?
I did not, sorry. No.
It was good. You should see it.
Oh my god, ow.
Plus it's got Vincent D'Onofrio. Everyone loves Vincent D'Onofrio.
Do they?
He's bald. Oh my god, ow. He's bald.
Oh my god. But you're going to watch it when it comes out, Amanda, right?
I can't even keep up with the shows that I like, let alone one that I don't have any feelings about whatsoever.
Well, by then, you'll have had 2 months to watch House of Cards, so you've already watched that.
I'll have watched House of Cards the weekend of.
By February 28th, you'll be done with House of Cards.
Yes.
I've never really been into Daredevil.
Ben Affleck's just too pretty to be blind. Combs his hair too good. You know who else combs his hair good? Barf. Spaceballs 2. Mel Brooks wants to make it. What say you guys? You guys down for Spaceballs 2? Amanda.
I don't know why we need that.
Because it's amazing. Hello.
More Spaceballs?
Yeah.
But it's fine on its own. It stands alone quite well, in my opinion.
Well, now we'll have two legs.
Like,
stand better with two legs.
Well, are they going to recast it?
Everyone's dead.
Sean Candy is dead.
Oh,
so's Joan Rivers.
Oh yeah, Joan Rivers.
Rick Moranis is retired, making syrup up in Canada.
It sounded like he was going to try to reassemble as many of the original cast as possible, bringing back Bill Pullman and Rick Moranis and himself. That's about it.
He's got to be pushing 90, dude. How old is Mel Brooks?
He's like 88.
Yeah, okay. And when this movie gets made, he's going to be 200.
Well, he did just put out a comedy special, so I guess he's doing fine.
Does he still have it? Does he still got the quick wit? Dave, you
I
want...
I didn't watch it.
Dave, you want someone new to write Spaceballs.
He did. I watched his comedy special, and he still was with it. But yeah, I agree with you. He is getting a little bit old. He's currently 88 years old. So by the time this were to go into production, he'd probably be 89, maybe 90. I think it would be great to get someone who was not only a fan of Star Wars, but also now someone who's like a fan of Spaceballs, and to be real meta, like Justin loves it when it's meta.
Yeah, like what Zach Morris calls Time Out.
Exactly.
It talks like to the that. Camera. Yeah.
I think it would be great to get, you know, like
Zach Morris.
Yeah, definitely get Zach Morris, but get a filmmaker who understands A, what made Spaceballs funny, which is hard to do because, you know, there's only one Mel Brooks. And it would just be...
But if he's involved, I'm sure he'll help with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could still produce it, and, you know, he would still be in it. I'm sure Yogurt will make an appearance, and President Scrooge will make an appearance. But it would be great to...
Like Zack Snyder? You want Zack Snyder?
Yeah, I would love nothing more than Zack Snyder were to take this movie over. Yeah, I could see, like, Jason Reitman doing it, or, like, you know, Todd Phillips is kind of strayed a little far with his Hangover films and Due Date, but, you know, if you take, like, Starsky and Hutch, you know, like, he understood what made that, like, show tick, and he made an enjoyable movie out of it, and, you know, Dukes of Hazzard, same thing, to where I think he could, if Todd Phillips wanted to step back and not be, like, not make, like, a Todd Phillips film, like he's been doing lately, and make a Spaceballs movie, I think that someone like Todd Phillips could do a great job.
I say Mike Judge.
Yeah, well, Mike Judge would be great. He gets like that kind of like parody, you know, spoofing, satirical spoofing. You know, look at Idiocracy and Office Space. I could totally see Mike Judge doing it if he can pull himself away from Silicon Valley.
Amanda likes that show.
I love it's that good. Show. It's so good.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Can't wait for it to come back.
Yeah. Like, what do you think, Justin? Do you want Mel Brooks to do it, or can you think of another filmmaker that you'd want to see step into the role?
Was serious about Mike Judge. I think he'd be great. But either way, I like Mel Brooks. I like his movies. I'm a fan. Spaceballs is. I feel like I own like 80 copies of that movie. I don't know why. It's just making new additions to it. Yeah, and I always get it as a gift. And I'm like, all right. I've never bought it. I just always get it as a gift.
Yeah, I have it on DVD twice and Blu-ray.
Oh, you have it on HD DVDs.
I do not. I only have Transformers and Casino on HD DVD.
Oh, there you go.
Because as soon as I bought an HD DVD, the format war was decided.
Yeah.
And it was not the side that I chose.
That's too bad.
You chose poorly.
I did. I chose way poorly.
That's a shame.
You know what else is poor and stupid and a terrible idea? Hunger Games sequels and prequels.
Already? What the fuck?
Now, Amanda, you've read all the books, much like I have. All three of them. I say like there's like a million. You've read all of them. All three 300-page books.
Yeah.
They're like one Game of Thrones book. What, knowing how Mockingjay ends without obviously spoiling it, can you see any foreseeable outlet that they could take to where you would be interested in seeing what happens in Pan Am past Mockingjay?
No. Not unless somehow they just upend the conclusion. To a certain extent, it is a happily ever after ending. So they would have to change that and somehow be like, just kidding. The Hunger Games are still around.
Fooled you.
Yeah. I mean, the people who survive Mockingjay, there's really like nowhere for their characters to go.
Unless they're just going to go like the super serious route and then like just not have any of, you know, the adventure action part, and then it just becomes a character study in PTSD. And I don't think anyone wants that.
That's no quite the YA powerhouse.
Right?
A social commentary on PTSD.
If they decide to just, like, go that route instead, and, yeah.
Okay, well, Justin,
do, like, some Oscar bait movie. Because their focus is soldiers coming home and not being able to deal with the reality of the things that they've seen and faced.
Now, Justin, I have a two-part question for you. Knowing what you know about The Hunger Games, can you foresee of something that you would want to see in a prequel form, you know, be it like the Civil War, be it, you know, one of the previous victors?
Hunger Games? like seeing Woody Harrelson's character?
Yeah, Haymitch.
Oh, see, that would be interesting to see those Hunger Games and how that happened. I mean, we know what happened, but to actually see it would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like someone like maybe or even one of like the more popular winners like Finnick or someone like that.
Is he the one that has the old lady riding on his back?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Oh, he's my favorite.
That's off-putting when he's carrying her. It just seems...
I mean, they're not going to do that part again.
No, I know, but just, I saw that. I was just like, I don't like this.
Well, here's the second part of my question now, Justin. Now, if they do a prequel, that obviously means that, you know, Jennifer Lawrence won't be in it. You know, John Hutcherson won't be in it. And, you know, Liam Hemsworth won't be in it. Now, is there an interest? Do you think the interest is in the property or in these hot young actors?
I think that would be interesting because those stories would still be interesting. Even though we know how they turn out because we know who's going to win, they could still... I mean, they have so much opportunity to tell a completely different story because only the bare bones of what happened is in the actual books. So they could do almost anything with it.
Now, would either of you be interested in just a total Hunger Games that we've never heard of, like the 18th Hunger Games or something like that? Would you be interested in... Are you just interested in the premise of the Hunger Games, or does our investment in the characters make it what's interesting?
No, investment in the characters. If they just make up a new one, I don't think it would be as interesting. Like, totally new people, I don't think that would be as interesting.
Because the book is set forth pretty much that the first time we see, like, people returning to the Hunger Games is the 75th one, where we see in Catching Fire.
Yeah.
So obviously we can't follow any character really through multiple Hunger Games like we have been able to do with Katniss.
They would really have to do ones that focused on, like, when Haymitch was a kid, and then when Finnick O'Dare won, and then when... whatever their faces, the other ones won.
It'd be cool to see the one where Haymitch wins, and then like the whole like third act is after he won, and him just like watching like people from District 12 just be killed and killed and killed and killed, and then it ends with like Jennifer Lawrence volunteering.
Or even if they decided to do a series that just showed the whole Civil War and everything. Yeah, that would be interesting too. I'd watch that, even if it's all characters that I don't know.
Yeah, it's cool because we know the bad guys win.
That would be fine too, because if there are no characters that we knew, because we know from there being 75 Hunger Games that it was 75 years in the past, so there wouldn't be anybody that we knew, except maybe Snow, but he would have been like
a baby.
Just born.
Yeah.
Have to get Kiefer to play it for his dad, Donald.
Yeah. There you go.
They don't even look alike, in my opinion.
Well, anything else on Hunger Games, you guys?
I do think that the property is strong enough to support its own movies without Jennifer Lawrence and Hutcherson.
Oh,
Only because the books were so popular prior to the movies.
Yeah.
Excellent point. You guys are smart cookies. You guys make me look good, and that's a real trick.
I mean, Jennifer Lawrence is great, but I mean, no one's going to argue that The Hunger Games is like one of her best performances. I mean, not that she's not good, but it's not like...
I think two MTV awards says that she's amazing in it. I think one's like 2013 Best Kiss. Come on.
I don't know why you're using that as an argument.
Because it's silly.
I was kidding. MTV award winner.
I mean, honestly, I think anybody else could have done it. I don't think it was like a role made for Jennifer Lawrence, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right, everyone was furious when she got cast. Like,
Not to put her down for what she has accomplished with the movies, but it's just like, it's not a role where I feel like she's defined it, so...
Yeah, no, it makes
the franchise can live on without her, no problem.
It can be post-J-Law. Yeah. Well, speaking of something that will definitely be remade, Poltergeist. Justin, were you a fan of the original?
Yeah, man. I was pretty young when I saw Poltergeist for the first time.
With Coach?
Yeah. I like me some Craig T. Nelson.
Well, what about this remake? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so the first one was in 1982, So a lot of time has passed since we've revisited this series. And I don't know, man. I am a sucker for Sam Rockwell. I just adore the man. I love everything that he's in. And he is starring in this movie. He's the daddy. And him and his family move into this new house that's obviously haunted. And Jared Harris, you might know him as freaking Mr. David Robert Jones from Fringe. Super cool. He's going to be the guy that's helping get their daughter back that was taken by the poltergeist. And it looks like some pretty fun stuff. You guys know me. I'm a sucker for remakes. I have argued tooth and nail that horror remakes need to be done. They don't stand the test of time, and it's okay for them to be remade. You don't have to enjoy them, but they're not for you. They're for the younger audiences.
Yeah, I agree.
I know we had this discussion, but like a while ago. But what did we determine was the difference between a remake and a reboot?
Like a reboot would be when you rebooted a franchise. Like for example,
like Star Trek.
Yeah, like they rebooted the Star Trek franchise. Like a remake would be like if they remade, you know, The Last Temptation of Christ.
Actually, I take that back. Remember, we determined that Star Trek was a sequel because it's still following the life of Spock.
Oh, that's true.
Batman. Batman's a good idea for.
Or I think we determined that Star Trek was a spinoff. Has it spun off because, like a Spock character? I don't. It doesn't matter. It could be either.
They changed the timeline, but it's still technically within canon.
It's gotta be your bowl. Yeah. So anyway, Poltergeist family moves into a haunted house. Scary shit ensues.
Yeah, and Sam Raimi's producing it, and you know he did the Evil Dead remake that everyone seemed to like,
which I enjoyed the shit out of. I thought that was a remake that was done very, very well.
I didn't see it. I was too scared.
I think the Hills Have Eyes remake and Evil Dead are just light years beyond the competition of remakes and horror films.
Yeah, and this film's going to be in a contemporary setting, right? It takes place in 20-teens.
We're in the now. But again, because of Sam Rockwell, like that guy just kills it. Every role that he does, he's just amazing in. I watched this movie the other day. It was called The Winning Season. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, that movie's so good. And it's because of him, man. He just nails it.
Did you ever see Moon?
Yeah, I saw Moon.
He's good in that. He's even good in Charlie's Angels, and I hate that movie.
Yeah. God, I just love that guy. And The Way, Way Back, did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, the guy killed. And even in freaking Iron Man 2, I think he's the best part in Iron Man 2. Justin Hammer? Holy shit, he's so funny in that movie.
All shady.
Yeah, totally like used car salesman. Oh, man, I just, whatever he does, I just believe it, man. I like him a lot. He's a good guy. I'm picking up what he's putting down. So I will go see this, and again, horror remakes are not for you. They're for the younger audience.
Yeah, it's younger people want to see themselves represented on film, and horror and comedy are like the best opportunities too. And they're so ingrained in us generationally. And I couldn't agree with you more, Justin, even if I tried to.
Right. I like that.
AMC had a pretty beast mode night last night.
Better
Call Saul premiered, and it set records for... It had 6.9 million viewers as the highest rated debut for a cable program since Deadwood in 2004.
That's funny.
That's right, Deadwood. And then it was Better Call Saul was a lead-in for The Walking Dead, which just utterly annihilated everything. It had 15.6 million viewers and 10 million in that money 18 to 34 demo. It actually, in that demo, only had 500,000 less viewers than the Super Bowl episode of The Blacklist, which is pretty amazing. So,
I've been watching The Blacklist.
Did you guys watch these shows?
I saw most of Better Call Saul. I was really tired and I was kind of in and out. But what I do remember seeing of it, it's very much has the same tone as Breaking Bad. It does have like a little bit more humor in general, but it definitely has that kind of serious, high stakes sort of tone and feel to it. Like, you know that Saul, who we learn is, that's not actually his real name.
Jimmy McGill?
Yeah.
He's actually James McGill. He's actually really struggling to establish himself as a lawyer, and he has all of these personal considerations to think about. He's trying to look out for this mentor of his who apparently has some kind of mental illness and has become like a hermit who's afraid of all technology.
Yeah.
I think
electromagnetism
that was,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
He's like really worried about electromagnetism and stuff like that.
And it's freaking Michael McKean, Dave.
Oh.
We love that guy.
I do. Now, is this going to be like Breaking Bad and The Wire, to where no one's going to shut up about how you got to be watching the Breaking Bad, best show since The Wire?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. I mean, it's pretty much all the same people who worked on Breaking Bad, so I feel like it's kind of just going to be a continuation of Breaking Bad, except it's a prequel.
And on top of that, it begins after the events of Breaking Bad. Like, Saul, it's like a future Saul, and he's kind of alone and sad and depressed, and he pops in tapes of his old ads. And
oh, that's what that was.
I think so. I'm assuming.
Like, I missed like the very, very beginning, so I didn't understand how he was watching ads of himself, and then it cut to him before he was Saul.
So he had a mall job working at a Cinnabon.
Okay.
In the food court.
And he goes home. And he watches his ads.
Yeah, and he's very tense. There's like this crazy white supremacist looking dude that's sitting on a chair looking in his direction. And he's like totally nervous. And,
oh, right.
And then
because he thinks like his...
Yeah, he's looking over his shoulder all the time. He's always scared, I think, is the vibe that you're supposed to get.
Mm-hmm.
And
So
basically, the show can actually teeter back and forth. There's nothing stopping it from moving forward and going back at the same time, which I think is amazing.
So it could potentially go in any direction.
Yes. And that's...
So there you go.
The possibilities are endless at this point.
That's a real cool hook. I didn't realize they were going to... I knew eventually they would have some form of flash forwards. I didn't know that's how they would start the show, but that's pretty cool.
Which is funny because Breaking Bad always did that too. Remember, every episode was always in the future and you're like, what the fuck, man? This making no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then it did.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, even like the beginning of season 5 or whatever showed him and Walter White at that restaurant and then getting the gun to go. Ultimately, that was the end. That was his final moments. That was him getting his gun to go save Jesse and annihilate that house. You remember? That's how the beginning of that season was. And here it was like a whole 18 months later when you finally got to see that play out. That's kind of funny how that works. Anyway, it was a good show.
Yeah. Very promising premiere.
Couple cameos.
Looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it led into The Walking Dead premiere, mid-season
God.
Premiere.
Yeah.
Was it not good?
They will not let up. It's kind of annoying me now.
Yeah, it's not...
spoiler alert.
If you're a black man on the show, everything's fine and dandy until they introduce a new black guy on the show.
No kidding, Jesus.
Every time there's a new black guy introduced to the cast, the old black guy gets the axe. Or the bite. The teeth, as it were. It's not right.
Well, I'm mostly upset about the fact that they keep killing people.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that people have to die, but this is 2 episodes in a row that a major character's died, and in this season, 3 major characters have died.
Right, but I think the thing is, though, with Tyrese, his character is kind of going backwards. He's not becoming a harder person, he was becoming a softer person. Yeah, he started off wanting to, I'll do whatever it takes, to earn my keep, right? And then he loses it when his girl gets killed, and he surrounds himself with, like, 20 walkers and beats the shit out of all of them. And then he gets to the point where he won't even take the life of the man that was threatening a baby. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of regressing a little bit. So I don't know how much good he would have done to the group going forward when he can't make those hard decisions.
That's funny because in the comic, he's like the total opposite. Like, he's like Rick's number two guy. And like, he's like one of the main characters to her. When I was seeing him in the show, he was kind of like relegated to like backseat duty. So it's too bad.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I just think that he lost his shit and he wasn't coming back. And he was comfortable. He was comfortable in this new nonviolent role.
Yeah, I see what you're getting at. I guess it just bothers me that the writers like put him in that wrote him into that corner.
Right.
Or that they didn't do something to sort of change his course so that his ultimate end didn't have to actually happen. I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, I'm just annoyed by the constant barrage of just super depressing episodes where just like you're just gonna expect anybody to die at any minute. I understand that's the world that they're living in, but watching a show for entertainment where you're just gonna constantly watch characters I've come to care about die, that's not really something I want to do.
Yeah, it's exhausting. I mean, Dave calls it a joyless show, right?
Yeah.
And I think Michonne, at some point, is speaking for us, the audience, when she says, you know, we just need to fucking rest and figure shit out and just take a break. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I really think that she was speaking for us, and that wasn't going to work, and that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But what can you do? Keep moving. Gotta keep moving.
Well, how do you think they write this shit? Because like you were saying, I checked out a while ago because for exactly what Amanda was saying was it was exhausting to like, there was like no joy in this show. And do you think the show needs to inject more levity? Do you think they need to take more time off? Or, I mean, I think it's almost like an overcorrection, you know, because we had all those seasons on the farm and the prison where like the complaints were like nothing was happening. And now it's almost like they're trying to manufacture too much.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a happy medium, do you think? Or do you think the show just needs to kind of like maybe take like half of one of their half seasons and like have like a quarter season to where, you know, it can be a little bit lighter? Or can this world be lighter? Does it have to be always dark?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either, but I will say that I started rewatching the show just to figure out why I hate it so much. And what's interesting is that I really enjoyed season two, watching it a second time, and I think that Shane has a lot to do with that. I thought the Shane character was so good that I was just 100% invested in everything that guy was going to do. He just lost his shit over the course of, whatever, 10 episodes. And just seeing that transformation was just a treat. I don't even know how else to describe it. But I just really, really, really enjoyed that show. And just the build-up of them looking for Sophia to finding her and just unloading on that barn and having these moral dilemmas of when they have a prisoner, do they just kill the guy or do they let him go? And Dale was kind of their moral compass. And once you lost these characters, then everything fell apart. And I think that they need to find a way to bring that back, because right now they're just losing characters that we care about. And we don't have any characters that we don't like in the group. That's kind of weird. And remember, there was even Andrea, who I hated more than anything. There was Lori, who the entire audience hated. I don't know why. Everyone just hated Lori for some reason. And it was just crazy. There was just this... It was like watching The Real World, but with zombies. You know what I mean? Like, it's like eight strangers living in a farm. And I don't know. It's just something about it. It felt more like reality TV than anything else. But I enjoyed the shit out of it. And Shane was like Puck from Real World 3.
Brewer at San Francisco?
Yeah. The numbers don't lie, dude. People, we know, we sit here and we complain about it each week when it's on, but the whole world's watching it.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you think that maybe, are we just being too critical? Because, you know, we watch so much TV and we see so many movies that, like, we come to expect more? Or are we just being overly critical of something because it's so popular?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, I mean, I'm only speaking from my own personal reaction to watching it, and watching it really bums me out. Like, I think there is a way to have the show where it's not a bummer to watch every week. And, like, not even, like, a bummer in a good way. I'm trying to think of, like, an example of something else that's also, like, super serious, but still manages to draw you in. And it's, like, but another problem is that there's almost zero humor left in it right now, because everyone's dropping like flies, so it's like impossible to inject any humor into that. There used to be things to laugh about or cheer about, you know?
Right, or someone to root for. Like, at this point, are we even rooting for the survivors? It's like, why waste my time being invested in you?
I don't think you have to worry about Michonne, Carl, Rick, or Daryl ever leaving the show. I think we might be surprised one day when Glenn or Maggie gets killed, but I don't think Michonne, Rick, Carl, or Daryl will ever get killed. It's sort of the season finale.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's too bad. What grade did you guys give that episode?
I don't know.
That was good. I'd give it a good. A check plus.
Check plus. All right. You heard it here. Justin, check plus. Sounds dumb.
It was.
Dumb! You know, it's not dumb.
Your list?
The 80s.
Oh, shit. I love
what
the 80s.
What a segue.
Well, in honor of the possibility of the Spaceballs franchise rising from the ashes like the mighty phoenix we know that it is. I found a list. It's the top 10 most epic movies of the 80s. I'm going to cut it down to 9 because number 10 is stupid. So we'll kick it off. Number 9, The Princess Bride. Ooh. What's not to love about The Princess Bride? My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yeah.
Everybody classic. Loves Princess Bride. Exactly. Moving on, number 8, another classic, Field of Dreams. If you have a dad, you love your dad, you love baseball, the last 10 minutes of this movie is just perfect. Number 7, which is Big, starring Tom Hanks.
Oh, shit.
That is a fantastic film, and it really gets the feels going. Tom Hanks, he's a good guy.
He's been to space.
Yeah, he's got a couple Oscars, you know, he's kind of a big deal. I was surprised that they put Big on here and not Splash or The Money Pit. Also 80s movies starring Tom Hanks.
Or The Burbs.
Or The Burbs.
That ended the decade. That was 89.
Went out on a high note. He ended the 80s were his comic time. And he ended it on a high note with The Burbs before entering the 90s and his dramatic turns. Number 6, When Harry Met Sally.
Pass.
Definite chick flick. One of the more iconic chick flicks. Everyone loves it when, you know, what's her name? Orgasms. I can't believe I just totally blanked on
Meg Ryan?
On Meg Ryan. It's late. Sorry.
America's Sweetheart? You can't remember America's Sweetheart?
I just blanked.
She looks funny now, dude. She had some surgery, and it does not look good.
Oh, that's too bad. Why can't you just be happy with how you look?
I don't know, man. I like that movie.
Embrace Your Age.
Did you ever see IQ?
Oh, yeah.
I like that
movie. With Einstein. Walter Matthau as Albert Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
Is Tim Robbins in that movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Tim Robbins is not at number 5, which is The Terminator.
Oh, that's a good one.
Speaking of soon to be not rebooted, this will be a movie that I guess will fall into the sequel, spinoff, remake, reboot argument.
No.
It's a shame that Randy's not here because number 4 is Raiders of the Lost Ark, and so we can't pick on Randy for him saying that's the best of the Indiana Jones movies.
That's a bunch of bullshit right there.
Bullshit. So we'll just skip on to number 3, which is Back to the Future, arguably a perfect film. There's never anyone who ever says anything bad about Back to the Future. No conversation has ever started with, you know, movie sucks, Back to the Future.
That's true. That movie's so good.
It is. I can't. No one can say bad stuff about that. Nobody. I dare you. InfoGeekLacy.com. Email us. Number 2 on the list is E.T., the extra testicle. I mean, terrestrial.
Mm.
This movie has a special place in my heart because it's the first movie I ever saw in the movie theaters. I don't really remember it, but my parents tell me I was there and that I enjoyed it.
I saw this thing on Reddit where it was like showing E.T. like at the council in like episode one or whatever, or at least that race. So yeah. It's in the same universe as Star Wars, and when he's on Earth, he sees Star Wars toys, and then he sees like a Yoda on Halloween, and he would recognize Yoda because it's, you know, he's a famous Jedi, and then he's even able to make the bike levitate, so maybe he's using the Force to do that, and maybe E.T.'s Jedi.
Yeah, it's been a pretty popular theory. Another theory is that the Green Planet, that's the name of E.T.'s homeworld in all the literature, that it may be Fallujah, which is where Aiel Sakura gets killed in episode 3.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that he was in it, but I never put together that he would recognize Yoda, nor did I ever think that he would ever be a Jedi, but that totally makes sense.
That's pretty cool. We're connecting the dots.
It's really just a language barrier is the problem with that movie.
he's really trying to help them out. He's like, hey, you like Yoda? I know the guy.
Yeah, let me take you to him. Hop on my ship, you fucking kid. I'll take you there.
Just let me use your phone. I just want to call home. I don't want to build a fucking cell phone.
That's long distance, Dave.
Yeah, that's true. It's like that's like premium, like roaming charges. Like you gotta do like call collect or something, like 1-800-ATT or some shit.
What you got?
Anyways, number one, The Breakfast Club. Everybody loves The Breakfast Club.
No Ghostbusters on this list?
Everybody except this guy.
Did you say Ghostbusters?
I did not. Ghostbusters was not on this list.
That's nuts.
But Breakfast
Bullshit.
Club.
Bullshit. Was the title of this list like Epic Movies of the 80s?
Epic Movies of the 80s, yes.
Okay, Breakfast Club is not an epic movie.
Not at all.
Like, it's like 100 hours long. It's like as long as an epic.
Yeah, that's stupid. I don't like that list, Dave.
I don't like it either.
I don't like it either. I don't like finding lists. That's Randy's job.
Aliens! Why was Aliens on that list?
No.
What is wrong with this list?
Yeah, this is a stupid list. I have a game.
Do you?
Yay.
Can't wait.
It is inspired by the hit television series The Walking Dead.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Dave, you're in trouble. I did my best to name off every character that we will be talking about, like during our.
Well, he's read the comics.
That's true. During our conversation about last night's episode, I tried to mention as many of these characters as possible. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a background as to how the character died, and you just got to tell me who the character is. Sound easy?
Sure.
So
you're going to say how, and then we say the character.
Yeah. So I say this character was a bit. And then you tell me.
Oh, shit.
So many of them were bit. I hope you're going to be a little bit more specific than that.
All right. Are you guys ready? Shout it out when you know it.
Okay.
All right. This character met his end from a brutal stabbing by the hand of his best friend. Of course, this was after he got the grabby hands with his friend's wife.
Shane.
Very good.
Oh, like, I was like totally blanking on his name, like, even though we were talking about him 5 minutes ago.
Oh, I know. Dave has one. Good job. Shane is correct. Number two. Let's see here. This little one was separated from Rick at the beginning of season 2, only to be found much later.
Sophia.
Very good, Amanda.
Couldn't remember her name.
Found later in the season as a walker locked up in the barn. Sophia. Amanda, on the board. Number three. That crackpot scientist named Milton bit this broad in her neck. Before she turned, she shot herself in the face.
Andrea.
Very good. Andrea. Too bad she didn't blow up at the CDC back in season 1. Either way, she's a fine young woman. Uptown all the way. Thought you guys would like that.
Yeah, we haven't said that in a while.
I know. Bringing it back. Alright, number 4. This one-handed hillbilly bastard found redemption before being shot
by
the
governor. Oh, who got it?
You were the loudest, so I'm giving it to you.
Yay!
Because I literally did not hear Dave. So, sorry about that, Dave.
That's okay.
All right, number 5.
Are you trying to be quiet, Dave?
I am.
Okay, I sounded like...
couple what? Podcasts that you were trying to be quiet.
Do you got a sleeping baby next to you?
No, I'm just inside trying to be respectful.
Oh, fuck them. It's only your family.
It's not like they're going to leave you.
Yeah. Number five. One could say she was killed from within.
Lori.
Perhaps why the episode she died in was called Killer Within. Lori is correct, Dave.
That title's in poor taste.
It's funny. Fucking Carl. Maybe he'd go wandering off all the time and wouldn't aggro to Walker that eventually would have snuck into their camp and eat the pointy-nosed old man. Who oftentimes was their moral compass. Dale is correct. Amanda. Yes. Killing it. Amanda has four. Dave has two. All right, number seven. Surprisingly, this black male made it through the first two seasons. It was
T-Dog.
T-Dog.
Yes, T-Dog. Did you say T-Bone?
I said T-Bone at first.
If you say the name incorrectly, then you're automatic.
Damn it.
So, Dave, you are the man. You now have three. Amanda has four. Here we go, number eight. The governor went swack swack with Michonne's katana to make this old man's head go rolling.
Herschel.
Yes.
No.
Is that how Herschel died?
Yeah.
Dang.
You got a governor, sword to the face.
The governor chopped his head off.
Mm-hmm. Took a couple swacks.
Chopped his head off.
Mm-hmm. This one... I don't even know how to do this one. Okay. So stupid. It turned into a song. I started typing and then I made it a song. So are you guys ready?
Okay. Weirdo.
I know. Shot through the head and now she's dead. That's all I got.
Lizzie?
No.
Beth.
Very good. Beth. I was like, wow, this is like John Bon Jovi.
I guess, kind of.
Yeah, like shot through the heart.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this? Y'all ready for this? This Alky Dunn fucked up too many times.
Bob!
Correct. And finally got bit whilst in a food bank.
I was going to say, I don't even know his name.
His name's Bob.
Bob. Amanda. Seven. Rocking and rolling.
Killing it.
Luckily for Dave, the golden snitch is...
Oh no, I forgot about the golden snitch.
Yeah. Here we go. For all the marbles. For 150 points. And the house cup. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Betrayed by Shane. This unfortunate son of a bitch was shot in the leg and left to die.
Oh, shit.
By the mouth of some very
angry
walkers. That is incorrect.
Damn it.
It does start with an O, though.
Why are you giving Otis? Him a hint?
Otis is correct.
Yes. God damn it. Why did you give him that hint?
Because the game is rigged, Amanda. You just learned something.
I knew it was O something. When you said Owen, I'm like, damn
I hate
it.
You.
Dave wins.
You did this on purpose.
No, not at all.
You just want your best friend to win.
Dave wins with 153 points.
Like, sweet. He doesn't win all the games anyway.
He doesn't win all of
man,
them.
Man, I thought I had this.
If there was
back.
A game ever rigged towards someone against me, it was this one. You did the recaps for the shows, for Christ's sake, and I haven't watched them like two seasons.
Well, I don't remember that guy. He's only in like two episodes.
Yeah.
Fun game, Justin, and not just because I won.
You did win. You win the prize.
Sweet. What do I win?
Firm handshake.
I'll take it. You come down, give it to me, and then you can leave.
All right.
You know what? Just FedEx it to me. Overnight it.
I can do that.
Put on ice, though, so you can put it back on when you get home.
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, well, I'm not the one who promised a handshake. Seems like logistics are on you.
Mm-hmm. I'll figure
it out. Well, cool. Well, good game. Anyone got any shout-outs you want to throw out to anybody?
Shout-out to comedian Paul F. Tompkins, who left me a voicemail.
What?
Oh, yeah?
He was in San Francisco for SF Sketchfest, and my friends were at a bar, and he was there, but I was sick, and so I missed it. But he and his friends were so cool, they, like, came up with the idea of leaving me a voicemail since I wasn't there. And he left me a super cool voicemail.
Well, that's cool of him.
Yeah, he's super cool. I love Paul F. Tompkins. Everybody should find out who he is and follow him and all those things.
I like him. And I like him now more than I know he's a cool dude.
He's the best.
He seemed cool. Well, cool. Well, thank you, Paul F. Tompkins, for making Amanda's day.
when I was really sick, so it made me feel a lot better.
Yeah, now she's not sick because of your now healing voicemail.
Yes, the healing power of laughter.
cured what ails
cured
you.
Me.
Well, cool. Well, to go with those shout-outs, you know, we always give our shout-out to Tony Tolato at SciFiTalk.com and Tim Byers at TheFullBleed.net because they're our boys and we love them, and Comic-Con's coming up, and we're all going to have just our big old just hug session where we're like, oh, I love you, man, and they're like, I love you, too, and we're like hugging and stuff and drinking heavily. Got weird there for a second. We're just going to have to live with that, guys. I don't think there's any going back. We've gone too far.
Okay.
But also, make sure you listen to all the podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. You know, you have the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Stephen James, where they talk about everything video games related, and regardless of what anyone says, it's amazing. Don't believe what you read on the bathroom walls. It's a great show. You will definitely enjoy it, and you'll have a good time. Money back guaranteed. If you don't like it, we will reimburse you the full cost of the podcast. There's also the Comic Corner podcast with Tyler and Jeff, where they recap everything that's going on in comics. They do every other week, so I don't think there's one this week, but there will be one the following week. They've been having a real good run of getting some guests on the show. They have a real cool format where they talk about news, then they do some reviews, and they rant and they rave about what they love and what they hate in the world of comics on that given week. So now's a great time to jump on any of the podcasts, and make sure you like and rate us all on iTunes, because that's what we love, and we love you for doing it. If you have a question or comment, you know, you can always hit us up on Twitter at Geek Legacy. You can hit me up at Snacky_Cakes and Justin at Edgy Arno. We'd love to talk to you about anything you heard on the show, anything you like on the show, or if you just want to say, hey, you guys suck. But yeah, that's pretty much it, and we'll see you guys when we see you.